Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. This is the most fun you'll have talking about food. And I don't know if you got your clothes on or not, but I don't care. It's the most fun you're ever going to have talking about food. And we've got my good buddy Meathead here from AmazingRibs.com. New book. Say it again because I'm shameless in promotion with his new book about cooking ribs. You. And you'll need to have it before the 4th of July. So go ahead and give
your... If you didn't promote me, I wouldn't come on.
I understand completely.
No, it's true. I was telling on the air, I started the website AmazingRibs.com in 2005 with one recipe, ribs, and I thought I'd do a book about ribs to go with the website. And here I am, 15 years later, I finally did a book on ribs, and it's about 100 pages. It's on Amazon. It's called Amazing Space Ribs. There's space in between because the website is Amazing Ribs, one word. Amazing Space Ribs, made easy, and it's $3.99. It's an ebook only, it contains everything you need to know about ribs, both outdoor and indoor cooking.
Yep, that's we need that, and a lot of people need that, truly.
Yeah, in December, if you're in a condo and you can't cook on the balcony or you're in a dorm or something, there's nothing wrong with doing them in the oven or in the crock pot.
I think when I lived in a dorm in college, the only smoke that came out under the door was probably not what they thought about, you know. So, yeah.
Is that stuff legal in your state?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's legal in our state, too. I have yet to visit a...
dispensary?
Dispensary, that's what they call it. Thank you. I didn't even know what the hell they call them.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to enjoy that. Well, you know, my mom used to warn me. She said, you keep smoking that, it leads to harder stuff. And she was right. I smoke pork now.
Well, I got to tell you a quick funny story. And it's a lead up because next week's show is with Leanne Whippin. And Leanne is just a hoot, and I love her to death. We had so much fun on the show, and we were talking about...
Grand lady.
Yes, and we were talking about cooking and the smell of smoke. And I said, you know, when I come in sometimes, and my wife will be there, and she goes, you know, you smell like ribs, or you smell like smoke. And it's not offensive to her. She's like, you know, because if I don't come in, or if I do come in and we're, then she knows she's going to get a TV dinner or something, you know, like that. And Leanne was going on about how she doesn't wear cologne anymore. And I went, is that Duroc number 5 you're wearing? And she...
Well, smoke is an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I used to have a neighbor who divorced, and she was all, you know, and she didn't know how to attract men. And, you know, she was thinking, she said, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to get a boob job. And I said, I tell you what, get a Weber Smoky Mountain for $329. It's a lot cheaper.
Yep.
And it'll bring the men in from miles away. And she did.
And it did. And it did. What do you think? We didn't cover this in the regular show because it was all about how to and what to do. When people buy ribs, and maybe they've cooked a bunch of them, but what's one of the common mistakes they make? I wanted to be everything upbeat in the regular show, but people do make mistakes, and it's, if they're not used to it, they can skip steps and stuff, and it'll probably turn out okay and edible, but some people just are constantly not doing it correctly. So, little insight there from the master.
Well, what, you know, I'm sitting here as you're talking and I'm trying to think. You know, I mean, the big mistake we talked about on air is boiling or simmering the ribs. I mean, if you're smart, I mean, if you buy a nice piece of ribs, you trim a little bit of the fat off, get the membrane off if you can, or score it if you can, salt it, rub it, keep it indirect. So I guess the big mistake people make most often, now that you ask, I finally thought of the answer. A lot of people put it right over a hot grill. They fire up their gas grill, get all four burners going, or get the charcoal spread evenly across the bottom of their Weber kettle, and then they put the grills on there, and they cook them until they get dark. And that takes 40 minutes to an hour, and then they wonder why they're so tough and they don't have any flavor.
Yeah.
And if you use a classic pork rub, it's got sugar in it, so there's a good chance it'll burn. The really important concept is those ribs do not go anywhere near flame or glowing coals until the final step when you're going to sizzle on the sauce. So they have to be roasted indirect in convection airflow away from the flame, away from the direct heat, away from infrared energy. And you really can't go wrong unless you undercook. And there's plenty of latitude, even if you overcook, you're not going to ruin them.
Right.
They're pretty hard to screw up once you understand the core concepts.
You know, one thing I've heard before, and you, I know that you've looked at this, and I've looked at this too, Meathead, is that they'll look and they'll say, well, the meat has retracted back from the end of the bone an inch and a half. Now, and that's just a figure I made up, but you look at that, and if you've done it properly, that's true. It will suck back a little bit from the end of the rib bone, but it will also do that if you cook them too fast and too hot. In my experience, they suck back, and then you've got either burnt food or tough food, because, you know, they said, well, look, it's that rib bone sticking out like that. And this happens especially with beef ribs, which we really didn't talk about in the show, but beef ribs have that tendency to retract back quite a bit.
A lot.
You know, like that.
Beef ribs a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's happening is the proteins are shrinking. Heat shrinks proteins. And so they're coiling up, they're shriveling up, and it will pull them back. And a quarter inch is not bad. Half inch is possibly a little more than you really want. When you see a pork rib pull back more than a half inch, you've probably cooked them too hot or too long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really are good at what you're doing, you will get a quarter inch or less of drawback.
Yeah.
Now, beef ribs is a different story. Beef ribs almost always draw back an inch or more, and there's just no avoiding it. But they still are succulent. Now, we didn't talk about beef ribs on air, but that's a really interesting topic. And there are different cuts of beef ribs, just like pork ribs, but the differences are really vast, much vaster than with pork ribs. Beef ribs, the back ribs, which are equivalent to the baby backs, they're curved. They lay along the back, connect to the spine, right underneath the big loin muscle, which is your ribeye muscle.
Right.
There's almost no meat on the top of them because the butchers know that that loin muscle, the ribeye muscle, is worth a lot of money. So when they remove that ribeye muscle, they remove almost all the meat from the bones. On a pork baby back, they almost always leave a little bit of meat on there so that the baby backs have some meatiness. So all the meat on your beef back ribs is between the bones. And the bones are pretty large.
Yep.
But these babies, all you need to do is salt and pepper them and smoke them at 225 for 3-4 hours. And they're fantastic. They're a lot of fun. In fact, you just reminded me, I got some in the freezer down there. I'm going to pull them out today to defrost.
Sure.
As you move down the side with pork, we get into the side ribs or St. Louis cut or the spare ribs down on the side. On a steer, you're into the short ribs or the short plate, they call it. But the best part of those is a section towards the front of the animal that's four bones long, four bones wide, and about 8 inches long. So it's almost square. And there's just a ton of meat on two of those four bones. One of those bones, the meat can be 1.5 to 2 inches thick. And those are your so-called dinosaur ribs,
yep,
which you see in Texas. They're just fantastic. They're succulent. They're rich. They're juicy. They taste a lot like brisket when cooked properly, only they're better than brisket, I think. As you move further along the plate, the four-bone-wide plate, the meat is a little thinner on the other end, but there's still plenty of meat. And those things are just wonderful.
Some of the we've got a barbecue restaurant here in the Portland metro area. Actually, it's up in Vancouver. Smoke and Oak, and I know those boys, they do a great job up there, and they will order special ribs, like you say, the dinosaur ribs, and they actually request from their butcher, and they get them from a special butcher over in Eastern Washington someplace. I've never followed up on that, but they have them trim very little off of them, and they run them as a special on a Wednesday, and they can only get so many. But they are a sellout every Wednesday. They know what they're doing.
You just hit upon a really interesting point, because I recently posted a recipe for these on Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of the people who read me say, I can't find these things.
Right.
Well, for good reason. Your butcher doesn't carry them, because they don't. It's not the kind of thing that people just wander in and pick up like a ribeye steak every day. If they buy these things and put them on display, they just sit there. There's not much call for it. But your butcher deals with a wholesaler, and your wholesaler has every cut of meat known to man in their cooler.
Yep.
So you go to your butcher in the morning. Your head butcher usually arrives early in the morning to greet the trucks. That's when the deliveries start rolling in. And they usually knock off early in the afternoon. So don't show up late in the day. Go there early morning or just before lunch and ring the bell. There's usually a bell in the butcher department, even in a chain grocery store, and get the head butcher or the assistant head butcher and ask them, can you get me beef plate ribs? And here's the trick. Code number 123A. 123A. That is the North American meat producer's code number. It's a standardized cut number. If you tell them 123A, you're going to get what you want, not something else. And they can order it, and then you can usually get it for you in a day or two or three, have it there for you. Leave them your phone number, they'll call you. And every now and then, show up just before lunch with something that you've cooked, like a slab of pork ribs or whatever,
yep.
And leave it for your butcher and his crew. Bring a slab of ribs in, just say, hey, I've been cooking some ribs. I bought them from you the other day. Here, have these for lunch. They will remember you. They will take care of you. Next time you wander in and they see you looking at the meat department, they'll call you over and say, hey, we just got in some gorgeous ribeyes today. Would you like me to cut you 1.5 inches? That's another thing. If you want 1.5-inch ribeye and they only have 3/4-inch ribeyes, they'll cut it for you if they have a whole rib primal back there. If they don't,
right,
the next time they get a rib primal in, they can cut exactly what you want. Your butcher should be able to and willing to get whatever you want or cut whatever you want. You just need to work with them or give them advance notice. And if they won't work with you, go find a new butcher.
Absolutely. Now, you and I are old enough to remember when you went to the butcher shops, even in the chain grocery stores, that
yep,
they got a carcass. There was a whole or a half a carcass hanging on a hook, and they would hand cut it all. Now, they come in boxes. They're pre-cut.
It's all box meat.
Yeah, it's all box meat.
It comes in boxes.
Yeah.
All pre-cut.
So
and it's all pre-measured and all pre-weighed.
Yep.
But they still do bring in primals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And my primals are big cuts. For example, the rib primal is 8 back ribs, 7 or 8 back ribs, and the ribeye meat, the longissimus dorsi and the spinalis dorsi, all in one. And it's one big cut. And they can, they should be able to cut for you whatever the heck you want out of that. So if you want 1.5 or 2 inch thick ribeyes, they should be able to cut it for you. You know, they're in the business of serving you. Now, yeah, you and I both remember, I mean, I learned about meat from a real old-fashioned butcher who was a meat cutter. I mean, he was well-trained. And a lot of these grocery stores now, they buy the box meat and they only have maybe 1 or 2 people who know how to cut meat. And they're really not full-blown butchers. The cool thing is there's this new generation of young butchers coming up who are artisan butchers. And they're taking lessons. There's a school here in Chicago called Range that trains butchers. And they're opening their own little butcher shops like the old-fashioned one.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is they are artisans. They see themselves as artists, and they are really good at what they do, and they buy high quality meats and they charge a lot for them. But we have one here near me in Oak Park, a carnivore, and I mean, they'll do anything for me.
One of the things, Meathead, that I learned early on too was if that butcher, that meat cutter, also would cut game, deer, elk, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And if you went to their shop, now they won't do that in a grocery store, I get that, but if you had a butcher mm-hmm. shop and you went there and they said, you had a little sign outside that said, you know, we do game processing, because like we live here in Oregon, I mean, our hunting seasons are, it's a huge deal. And when I had more time, I used to hunt and it was a big deal. Now I learned from some butchers how to cut up my own, carcass from the deer or the elk. Okay, so that's a little different. But if they know how to process game like that, they should be skilled enough to get you some really good cuts of meat. That's
absolutely my
theory.
Yeah, and that's a fact. Your grocery store butcher generally will not cut something that you killed.
Right.
There's sanitation rules and stuff.
Sure.
That regulate that. But a lot of standalone butcher shops will do custom cutting of game. They'll prep a bird for you. They'll even fillet fish and clean fish if you don't know how or don't want to.
Right.
And this one I mentioned, carnivore in Oak Park. They've got their own smokers out there, and they make sausage. A lot of these guys make their own sausage because when you're butchering, there's a lot of trim that comes off the meat. For example, we talked about their pork rib tips. They're down at the very end of the spare ribs. And there's a lot of cartilage in there, and a lot of people don't like them, and a lot of times they're hard to sell. So they'll strip the meat off of those and use it for grinding for sausage, and they
right.
make their own sausages. And sometimes they make traditional sausages like bratwurst or Italian sausages. Other times they come up with their own inventions, you know. They'll throw cassis berries in the blend or something, and they make their own concoctions. If they've got a good sausage maker, they're worth getting to know.
So let's... Sorry, I had to move something there. I'm actually kind of running out of time in this studio today. So let's recap, if we will. If you're at home and you've got your ribs and you listen to the main show and you've got them prepped and you've got a grill, and we've talked about that, whether it's a pellet or gas or charcoal or what have you, blowtorch, you can go to Amazing Ribs. You can look at Meathead's recipe for Memphis Dust and some of those things. You can make your own at home. I always suggest keep it simple. if you're just doing it for the first time. A little salt, pepper, garlic, like that. But I want to get your take on that before we get out of here.
Yeah, by all means. Nothing wrong with salt. I mean, in Texas, that's pretty much all that goes on a slab of ribs. I like to do a little more flavorful rub. As I mentioned on the main show, the Meatheads Memphis dust, which I know a lot of competition teams use, and I know restaurants that use it, has about six or eight different ingredients,
sure,
maybe more. I lost track. There's rosemary and ginger and other little things that really give it some interesting flavors. Salt, pepper, and a little garlic powder, and away you go. And now you're going to really taste the pork. Now you're going to really let the pork shine. You're the orchestra leader. You can decide, is the pork going to take the lead? Is the rub going to take the lead? Is the sauce going to take the lead? Is the smoke going to take the lead? You're controlling all those ingredients. You decide.
Yep, absolutely. My friend, thank you. We will be talking again soon. Again, it's amazingribs.com, and it's not a website that you can look at in 5 minutes. Trust me. But it's always
Thanks a lot.
No problem. And
it's always great talking to you, JT.
If the people knew that are listening to the show how much we can actually talk about this stuff together, if I didn't hit the record button, we'd probably still be talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From three interviews ago. So anyway,
if we both didn't have work to do, we'd talk all night.
Absolutely.
God help us if we ever get together in a bar.
Well, I hope it stays open for a week. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Again, amazingribs.com. Go there. And I hope you all have a great week and a happy 4th of July.